It's a freedom machine like no other. Starting, growing, and cashing out of your own business.
Then all hell breaks loose.
Burned out, carrying all the weight on your shoulders, fighting fire after fire, never getting a break.
But that was so yesterday.
It's time for your business breakthrough. Break out of the bottleneck. Break through to new levels of success. And break into a life you love. Now from Park Avenue in New York City, here's attorney, strategist, and SBA small business champion, Nina Kaufman. This is the Business Breakthrough Podcast.
Hello, how are you? Welcome to Business Breakthrough. I'm your host, Nina Kaufman, coming to you from the heart of New York City, and I'm glad you're here today. Thanks for tuning in. In this episode, we're going to chat with Michael Shine. He's the CEO of Microfame Media, a digital and content marketing agency, about how to get all of your genius out of your head and into a system. He went from copywriter to content caster, so stay tuned for that. And that's something that we touch on in our special report, 10 Steps to a $1 Million Business. So make sure to go to businessexponential.com/podreport, P-O-D-R-E-P-O-R-T, pod report, to get your copy. And there are a couple of reasons that I really wanted to talk to Michael, particularly regarding scaling your business. And it's that he had experienced, and a lot of us may have as well, maybe you have too, that he was really getting stuck where he was. And it can be very scary to think about getting your systems out of your head or actually thinking about what you do as a system. And I think there are several reasons that we get stuck. I mean, first, that sense of, you know, I'm the genius and I'm the one with the training. How could anyone else possibly do what I do if they haven't come from my background or they don't bring my particular sensibility to the work that we're doing? Another reason that we get and stay stuck is it feels too time consuming to teach other people what we do and how we do it, doesn't it? You ever tell yourself, oh, you know, I can do this in 5 minutes and it would take me 15 minutes to show somebody else? Well, that may be okay on a one-off, but if that's happening on a regular basis, those 5 minutes that you're taking over and over and over again are preventing you from doing other things with that time. So that's something to keep in mind. And a third part, I've actually spoken to business owners who have said it, that the concern that if they train other people or they share their methodology, oh my God, what if they do it better than I do? And then what kind of business am I going to have? So there's a sense of being scared and hoarding and fearing losing clients. So those are some of the reasons that people get stuck. But the benefit for, again, getting some of these systems out of your head is that, first of all, you can earn more money. And if that's part of your goal, and those are some of the things that you know, there's more that you want to do in your life, or frankly, more that you need to. If you've got, medical bills, college loans, thinking about college for your own kids, all of those things, and you need to earn more. If it's all about you, you're going to reach your limit of capacity. For people who also want to be of service to a wider group, to more people, to do more in the world, again, if it's all about you, you're going to be limited. And finally, if for any reason you need or want to step away, I just heard from a colleague who, sadly, young woman, and had a serious illness that knocked her out of the game for a year and a half. So if you need to step away from your business for any reason, it can't function unless you've shared your process with other people. And that's why I'm looking forward to talking to our guest, Michael Shine, today. So a little bit about Michael. Michael is the CEO of Microfame Media, as I mentioned earlier, and they do digital and mobile content marketing. And part of their genius is they implement systems and processes for turning organizations into recognized authorities in their field. And all of that is for the purpose of generating new business. Good stuff, huh? He has created or facilitated the production of content for companies like eBay, LinkedIn, Tesla, and Citrix. He graduated from the University of Pennsylvania with honors, and got his start at, I love this, Spin the Bottle. Oh dear, memories. So it was a company called Spin the Bottle, which was the production company behind the VH1 hit show Pop-Up Video. Michael writes a weekly column for Inc. and is a contributor to Fortune and Huffington Post. So we're delighted to have him here on Business Breakthrough. Hey, Mike, thanks so much for being here today.
I'm really happy to be here, Nina.
And I'm looking forward to our conversation because you are much like a lot of small business owners, where you started with your genius, your business was all about you, and you reached a point where you said, there are just not enough hours in a day. So can you tell us just a little bit about what business was like for you when you first started up until that point where you had that moment?
Sure. It's funny because I certainly haven't always felt like a genius during this entire process. You know, it's especially in the beginning, I was working for a company which I worked for many years, and I learned a whole lot there. But, you know, I was always an artsy kind of kid, and I always wanted to, I was always into writing and that sort of thing. And I eventually didn't see my life going in a direction that I had planned. I sort of had fallen into the work I had been doing. So after a lot of hand-wringing and whatnot, I left. And the idea was, I was a VP of marketing at the time, and it was a company that ran customer service call centers. So I filled this de facto role of writing all of the thought leadership material, white papers and whatnot. So I had read an article that said that you could make X number of dollars, and it was a high number at the time, for writing a white paper. So I said, oh, that's great. I'm really good at this. If I can do a white paper a week, and it can be in the telecom industry, since I know about that, I'll make exactly the same amount I'm making now. So that didn't quite work out because you know, I forgot that you have to, so you actually have to sell your services and that sort of thing.
And taxes, little things like that.
So some of that stuff. So, you know, I eventually did make a name for myself as a freelance copywriter. I got some pretty fantastic clients. I did some work for LinkedIn and for Magento, which is a subsidiary of eBay and Citrix and some other companies. But the problem was, and again, I mean, I'm not allergic to hard work. I don't think you can be if you're an entrepreneur, but I basically worked 7 days a week for month-long stretches at a time, 14 hours a day, because you couldn't turn anything down. And I'm not exaggerating. And then I wouldn't be selling, and it would dry up, and I would do nothing but sell for 2 months. And the amount of money I was putting into the bank account really did not reflect the amount of aggravation and anxiety and work that I was doing. So I started to open my eyes to another solution. And I became pretty familiar with digital marketing because it's all based on words, on content, as they call it. That's how the internet runs. Basically, the companies that do the best at marketing themselves online are those that create really educational and entertaining content that people, and when I say content, I mean articles or podcasts or blogs that people link to, right? So I had this one client, and they hired me as a consultant. And I went in there, and they had hired a branding company to get them into the internet age. And when the branding company left, they asked me what I thought. And I said, well, I think you're going to have a fantastic website, but what are you going to do to drive business? And they said, what do you mean? And I said, well, you've got to be doing a whole lot of blogging, a lot of articles, a lot of outreach. And it looked like their heads were going to explode. And they said, we don't have time for that. And I said, well, how much do you have time for? And they said, a blog post a month. And I said, well, you're wasting your time. Now, normally I would have complained about the client and thought to myself, oh, they don't know what it takes. But I realized that in order to write quickly, I had devised a bunch of blueprints for myself or templates, because people tend to respond to the same structures over and over again, the same way that you structure an article, the same order that you put articles in or episodes, the same headline types. So I said to them, what if I interview everyone in your company and find out what makes them tick, what they're good at, and we create a bunch of customized blueprints. So everyone will contribute one blog post a month. They'll know exactly what they need to write about. They'll have the headline. We'll edit it. We'll get it into the hands of influencers. And they said, yeah, cool. So we did that, and it was a massive success. And I said, wow, could there be a business in this? And that was the beginning. The rest was history. We pioneered a process called content casting, where we use the resources that a company already has, whether they're big or they're small, to create a really replicatable, scalable, efficient online marketing system that's based on content. And then we continue to test and refine until they're getting the business results they want, which usually means more leads. And it's been good to me. I mean, we have a business now.
And it's terrific. And you touch on something really important that a lot of small business owners face, whether they are independently creative or they already have a team. It's that sense of feast or famine, like you were talking about. You would spend months working on the business, and then, oops, the pipeline dries up, and then you got to go out and hunt down the new clients. And when you're doing it, you're also doing it from a place of desperation because, oh my God, your pipeline's dried up. And that's not a place to try to be of service to other people. So in terms of really, you talk about pioneering your process of content casting. Can you talk a little more about what are some of those steps? I mean, really drill down for us, because that's, I think, where business owners get stuck, is how do I get it out of my head and into a process that others can pick up and run with and use? What were some of the steps you took?
So it's a great question. I mean, the first thing I want to say, I want to touch on something that you mentioned about the feast and famine.
Sure.
A lot of times people would say to me, you know, you have to make time to do the sales. You have to make time to do the sales. And I would hear that and feel guilty. But the fact of the matter is, when you're working every day doing the work yourself, it's not a function of that you don't want to do it. It's that you probably can't, because you can only be in one place at one time. So it really is important to build systems to be able to do that. And in regard to the systems that I originally did for my own content, but now we do for clients, it really comes down to, this is where it gets a little bit philosophical, but there's a guy named Joseph Campbell. Have you ever heard of him? Or I don't know if your audience
is
familiar with him.
I have heard of him, and I'm trying to remember. I mean, he's been around for years and years. It's not the way of the peaceful warrior, but
he has been around for years, and he's unfortunately deceased now. But he was a mythologist, right? I mean, about as far away from what you think of as business as you could get. And he looked at essentially every myth in the world, or story, or just these universal stories that every culture has. And he found out that there's this structure that these stories obey, that even true stories, the way people tell them, that is almost identical across cultures, with the details being different. And you can look it up. It's called The Hero's Journey, and there's a book about it. And basically, it's a structure that people respond to time and time again. It's the structure of Star Wars. It's the structure of the Moses story. It's the structure of the Odyssey, right? And that's the same when we're looking at anything. If you look at magazines, there's a reason that Cosmo puts 15 sex tips guaranteed to please your man on every issue, or some variation of that, right? Yeah, and it's not the raciness element. It's that it implants a mental question in your head that you need to buy the magazine to answer. And BuzzFeed does this very well, and right? So what we did was we built a library of these templates. We looked at every magazine, every blog, every podcast, every story, and we built these blueprints And so when we go into a new client, we find out all about them through a bunch of assessments and interviews that we do, and then we customize the blueprints for them, but the structures are the same. So if they release a blog post, they can write it very quickly because all the details are in there for them. I mean, we're telling them basically what to say, but it comes from them. Mm-hmm. But the chance that it will be successful is quite multiplied because we know that people we're actually wired to respond to these structures. It's some people say it's evolution. It helps us rehearse for bad things that might happen to us, whatever it is. I mean, no one really knows. We're wired to respond to these things. So, I mean, I guess the first thing is build a library of what already works. If something has sold you, if you get a blog post that intrigued you and eventually led you to a sale or to sign up for a subscription list, save it. I mean, put it in Evernote or just print it out and put it in a file. You know, I mean, study this stuff mm-hmm. and you'll start to see patterns rather than trying to make it up every, you know, all by yourself. Because if you sit there with a blank page and try to, and again, I mean, that's if content marketing is your strategy, right? I mean, everyone is saying you've got to be blogging, you've got to be doing social media. I would say that to a certain extent, that's true because the world is changing and we can dig into why. But some people do their marketing differently. But if you choose to become a thought leader, and if you choose to be the company that shows up online when someone is searching for your topic, you need to create these structures that have worked before already, or at least find them.
Mm-hmm. And that's a great point. And actually, as you were talking, I reminded myself that it was Joseph Campbell who said, follow your bliss. That's what I was trying up with. And I did not. That was one of his great sayings. But you talked mm-hmm. about seeing patterns and whether or not your business is in content marketing or otherwise. I think that's a really important point to see what is actually working in your business. What have clients come to you for? What do they come back to you for on a regular basis? And that can be a way as well to start seeing what are some of the systems, processes, structures, or stories that are working and the ways that you're relating to clients. So as you're starting to build this library of templates, how are you housing that? How do you hold it so that other people on your team have access to that information, but also they're able to contribute their wisdom when something is working?
I can only speak from what we do to clients, and then we can try to back out of that to figure out how people listening to this, how your audience members can do it for themselves. But I mean, you know, our bread and butter is this library, right? So I mean, we have, you know, a giant file that we keep all this stuff in. But mm-hmm. yeah, I mean, you could make it as easy as Microsoft Word. I mean, just create, you know, the different, you know, 15 blank tips guaranteed to, and in parentheses, do desirable thing. You know what I mean? I mean, that's a headline. Mm-hmm. It can be 15 way or number blank tips. It can be 5 ways to do the perfect crunch or whatever, right? So just kind of collect these things. And you can even do it in a paper file. In advertising, they call it a swipe file, right? So, I mean, paper is very out of fashion now, but, you know, it has its benefits. It's there when you need it. Mm-hmm. Ripping things out of magazines, just putting it in a file. But I also want to make the point that this is not just about using templates, because someone still has to use the work. You need the templates, but at the same time, you need to look at your resources. So let's say you're a company that has a staff of 40 people. Well, then it becomes much easier to use this approach of everybody contributes one blog post a month. But if you are a company with one or two people, it doesn't matter how good these blueprints are, you're still going to have trouble producing them. So then you have to say, okay, how can I be the most efficient? So, I mean, I'll tell you one way to do it is the medium we're on right now, podcasting. I mean, one great thing about a podcast is that you can do all your recordings on 1 or 2 days and spread them over the month. And at the same time, you can invite people on to help create the content for you. It's like that old story of Tom Sawyer. He got all his friends to you know, he was supposed to whitewash a fence or paint the fence white, you know, and he got all these people to do it for him. But the part of the, all his friends, but the part of the story that people forget is that the friends love doing it because he and they came back for more. So it's changing, as Don Draper would say, it's change the conversation, right? I mean, so if you say, hey, do me a favor, be on my podcast, versus, hey, we have this really awesome, popular podcast, come be on it and you can talk about your company. So what happens there? You have great content. The person shares it for you. And now they are happy. You have a new relationship with them. So I can't tell you how many influencers I've met and become friends with and that have eventually led to business because I offered them a spot on my blog and we're launching a podcast soon. So, just being creative about, okay, what are my resources and using your challenges to be, instead of thinking of your challenges as roadblocks, think of them as fuel for doing it even better.
Yeah. And to your point about bringing people onto a podcast, gee, imagine that as you are here on my podcast, it's a great opportunity to learn from best practices about what other people are doing so that as you think about your own business, you can pick and choose and say, oh, you know what Mike's doing with those templates, that sounds really good because there are similar things that I'm creating on a regular basis. And then that becomes the basis for your systems. Now,
yeah, 100%.
Mm-hmm. And when you talk about increasing your team and building those systems, how important is it to play to your strengths? I mean, I've often heard you need to be strong and competent in so many different areas of your business. But there are some pundits who say, you know what, play to your strength and outsource the rest. Where do you stand with that?
I think it's really important. I mean, I think, you know, I was one of these people who thought that you had to improve in everything, you know, and you have to get to a certain minimum level probably of competency with certain things. But, you know, I heard an interview with Rick Rubin lately, who's this really famous and well-renowned music producer. I mean, he started Def Jam Records with Russell Simmons from his dorm room. He was the original DJ of the Beastie Boys. He produced the Red Hot Chili Pepper. I mean, anyone you can think of. He's behind so many classic records, you know?
Right.
And this guy works like crazy, but he produces music, you know? I mean, he does not, even when he was at Def Jam, I mean, Russell Simmons was doing the wheeling and dealing. He was interacting with artists. He was recording. He was seeking out influences for his artists to dive into. Because Rick Rubin is a great music producer. He's not a great accountant. He's probably not even a great salesperson. Right, but if he didn't have Russell Simmons and if he didn't have the infrastructure of the record industry, he wouldn't do as well. Now, unfortunately, a lot of us don't have that infrastructure. So I think the challenge for entrepreneurs is you can't just outsource the rest. I think you need to be pretty intimately involved, unfortunately, in building the systems. Whether someone else who knows more than you comes in and builds it with you so that you can eventually not be involved in it. Like sales, right? I mean, you know, I'm not really that great. I'm pretty good at sales when it comes to, I can get people excited about an idea. You know, I can do a talk and walk away with new clients from it. But all of that back and forth, follow up, this and that, I'm there are much better people than me, but it's very important. And so, What we've done is I have some really good relationships with some people who are really fantastic at that, and they've helped us create sale. You know, how do you handle objections? When do you call back? When do you let a prospect go? So that we handle it the same way every time. And now I can use other people to do that part once I've gotten everyone up and running. But if I just hired a salesperson and said, yeah, go sell for me. Well, then you're not in control, you know, then you're, what happens if that salesperson leaves or what if they do a bad job?
Right. And it also, it's something I've talked about on other podcasts, the difference between delegating and abdicating, that it's so important not just to say, all right, I need you to bring in the sales, but to really let those people know, what does the company stand for? What's your ethos? What are your values? How do you speak to people? All of those things. So as they go out as salespeople, they can actually be a good representative for your company, but you need to know right. that and to make those decisions first. So it sounds like that's, as you've grown, allowing yourself to bring on other people to fill in those areas that, maybe not so much. Maybe you're not loving it or it's not your strongest suit, but allowing others to step in so that you can grow further.
Well, yeah, because if you go from not really that good to like pretty decent at something, you'll do all right, but there comes a point where why not build, other people have done it right before. So why not seek out that knowledge and create a system based on their knowledge that might be better than yours and then bring in other people to implement that knowledge with you overseeing it. Now, that being said, that's hard to do. I mean, it's easy for me to sit here and say that in 20 seconds, but I think the best businesses do that, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. And how are you going about the process of training your team members so that you can gradually pull back and focus on those areas of your business that are best suited for you?
It's a great question because I'm not there yet. But I try to keep that in mind. And it's challenging. I mean, I'm not, I wasn't one of these people running lemonade stands and baseball card trading things for money when I was a kid. I mean, I was playing in bands and writing stories and drawing, right? So I'm not naturally suited, I don't think, to being, a captain of industry. I've created a business to be a vehicle for some of this stuff, to help to provide a good service, a vehicle for creativity and creative solutions. So I'm always working toward that ideal. I mean, I learn as much from the people that we work with as they learn. I think from me, I think the difference is that I always try to get closer to the ideal of replicating that once we've figured out something that works, instead of just, that was fantastic. We try to say, okay, why did that work? And how can we do it again? And how can we train the next person on it?
And something you mentioned earlier that's so important is to not just say, yes, we had a great result, let's just do it. But it sounds like you test it a few times to make sure it truly is working before you say, okay, now let's add that in as part of our system and part of our way of doing business and part of how we're working with our clients. So there's that, as I said, that sense of constant improvement and tinkering that's also part of it as well, which lends itself to a strong business. And
And I should say, not to interrupt, but we're in the greatest time for that in history. I mean, never has it been so easy to get free analytics on every single part of your business. I mean, you could tell who went to your website, why, what action did they take, what piece of content did they read, did it convert to a sale? In the past, you'd have to hire market research firms for $100,000. So it's just, you need someone who knows how to work the equipment, but it's crazy what you can learn now.
You touched on something that's also really important, which is reaching out and bringing into your orbit other people who have done it right, so that you're not reinventing the wheel from scratch here in your own business. Can you talk a little bit about who you've aligned yourself with and how you're learning from them?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of things. I'll give you a perfect example. So we have a member of our team named Nick Parks. He's great. He handles a lot of our back end fulfillment. So, social media, the actual mechanics of the podcast, all of that kind of stuff. Very creative, really competent. The way I met him was that I wrote an article in Inc. where, I have a weekly column in Inc., the magazine, the online magazine. Mm-hmm. And I wrote this article, which I paused before sending, called Why Gary Vaynerchuk is Flat Out Wrong, the internet guru.
Oops, yep. Yeah.
So it generated a lot of hubbub. And this guy, Nick, got in touch with me and said, I really liked your article. We have a podcast. He had a successful podcast. Can we meet? So we met in New York, and he was smart and he knew his stuff. And so I had a project. I hired him for a project. He did it better than I could have done it because his particular skill set lended itself to this problem. We did that a few times. And eventually when we needed to hire a full-time person for that role. We hired him. So, I mean, I guess there's a cliche that says, I don't know, what does it say? Hire slow, fire fast. I mean, I don't know about the second part, fire fast, but the hire slow thing is good. I think it's good to sort of start a relationship with someone and see if it works out before hiring them full-time. That's been one thing. I've also brought in, you know, I used to think the whole idea of business coaching and that sort of stuff was really silly, but I've had a few people in that arena who have been the opposite of silly. I mean, I did a sales coaching program very early on called Sales Evolution. They're out of Philadelphia, and that was pretty pivotal in it's why I'm in business today. And then recently, I'm in a program called Strategic Coach. They were one of the first business coaching programs. It's out in Chicago, and they help you build systems for your business and that sort of thing. And that's been pretty fantastic. And I've met some people in that course because they're all pretty successful people who we've traded a whole bunch of ideas and helped each other out. So yeah, just being out in the world, I suppose.
And it sounds like also building the systems in your business has given you a certain amount of freedom that you didn't have when you were working, well, certainly wasn't 24/7, but 14/7 for many, many months on end. Can you talk just a little bit about how your time has been freed up and how you're spending it differently now that you personally don't have to be all things to all people in your business?
Yeah, I mean, even at the simplest level, having a retainer-based model where you're judged by the results you provide for your clients versus being judged by, did you deliver this white paper by this date, frees you up. Because if I could get something, if I could get a client 25 leads a year, hypothetically, and invest 1 hour a year, hypothetically, they'd be perfectly fine with paying me the same amount of money, because they're not paying me for paying us for our time. They're paying us for what we get them, right? So having that sort of model right off the bat is a great way to free up some of your time. I mean, the other thing is, yeah, relying on other people. I mean, I can be on this call right now because I know some of my team members are handling our clients' campaigns, right? Now, I'm there for a lot of that, and I'm there for the conceptualization, and I'm there for, you know, a lot of key points, but if I had a deadline on a white paper, that deadline, I wouldn't be talking to you right now. I'd be writing, right? So those are just a few examples.
Well, it sounds like you've put some great things in your business to move yourself from copywriter to content caster, including, as you say, relying on other people, having a robust library of systems and templates, and working on a retainer-based model. So a lot to learn from here. So Mike, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you. I had a blast.
And thanks to you for tuning in today. You know, I really want you to have a breakthrough in your business as well. So as a loyal listener, I want to give you free access to one of my special video trainings that I call Ignite. In this Ignite webinar, I share my quick growth scale formula that lets you bust through the plateau, design a self-sustaining business, and live the life you deserve. You can get free access by going to businessexponential.com/BBIgnite. Again, that's businessexponential.com/BBIgnite. Go there now, and we'll see you on the next episode of Business Breakthrough.